This is Reg JTL coming to you from the lovely city of Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, typically, DJ, when I'm on this show, I'm going out to another city. It'll be like, this is Reg JTL going out to Cali. This is Reg JTL. I'm going out to Chicago. But then I'm going out to Atlanta. Like, I'm not even going nowhere. This is Reg JTL. Got DJ here with us. And I'm going to give you a chance to introduce yourself here, DJ, because I've been on your show talking dating and stuff like that. And it was much more sophisticated operation. She had, like, her own little studio set up. There was, like, people there. It's just me. You're on this show and a light and a computer. Like, there's nothing. I don't have all the bells and whistles, DJ. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And what you got going on is super dope. I hate that I don't have my mic, but my name is DJ Robinson. I am the founder and creator of Plan for Keeps podcast and dating app built around self-awareness and compatibility games. So when two people match, they have to play a compatibility game based on love language, sexual compatibility, emotional intelligence, or attachment theory.
What's attachment theory?
So attachment theory is basically a theory. Oh my God, the name escapes me. But basically, it's a theory that came about, I believe, in the 1960s. Could be a little earlier than that. But we're all born with an attachment style. So there's four different types. There's the secure attachment style. So that means, you know, you were secure, you were raised in a household where your parents supported you. So you grow up and you don't have any, like, too much securities when dealing with people in relationships. And then there's the three other types, which is considered insecure attachment style. So there's the dismissive avoidant. So that might be the person who is independent. You know, they might can just have multiple sexual partners and they're okay. They don't really easily get attached. Then there's the anxiously attached. So that's that clingy person who may call you 55 times because they're trying to get a hold of you and you're not answering them. Then there's the fearful avoidant. So that's the one who kind of juggles between the dismissive and the attachment. So you want love, but you're scared of it. So you might start off strong and then you'll pull away. And I identify as a FA, or fearful avoidant. And that's something I've been working through.
Fearful avoidant. Is that what is that how it says? Somebody remember write that down for the audience. Fearful avoidant.
Yes. So wow. When two people play this game, they'll get when they answer the short questionnaire game, they'll get an idea of where they may fall on the spectrum. So it's just kind of an introductory to it.
Yeah. Really? So how did you find out where you fell? Let me see. Anxious and secure. I get
there's a lot of
over real quick. I think I'm more like pretty secure, man. Pretty secure.
I think a lot of us grow into that. And then there's some people who just, they have that secure attachment style. You know, I don't know. I've always been kind of fearful avoidant. Like I would lean more towards the guys I really had to work hard for. But I think it was because I had some dismissiveness within myself, because I would get with a guy who had all their stuff together and I did not stay in those relationships. So,
wow. You're like, I need a fixer upper. Let me get rid of this guy who's got a full time job and a stable life. You know, let's get him out of here.
This is all subconsciously, by the way. I want to put that out there. Okay. This is not conscious, but this is definitely what I was doing. Like, when you really examine this, what is this girl doing? That's exactly what
how did you get to that though? Like, how did you know? Like, how did you that takes a lot of self awareness, right? To a certain degree.
It does, but I wasn't self-aware for a very long time. So, like I said, I would get with these guys, fixer-uppers or whatever the case may be, and eventually I would get tired, right? So eventually I would break up with them. But there was one particular guy who broke up with me. And that I don't know what
it is.
It fucked me up really bad. It was
word bad. Like so why do you what why that one in particular versus like other dates, would you say?
Crazy dating story behind that one. I poured a lot into this relationship. I poured a lot into the relationship first off, and I think that's more of what it was. Like, I poured a lot into it, and then once it was all over, it's like I knew better, and then it was like, okay, I need to self-assess for real now, because I don't want to feel this way again. So that's where all of like the research and digging and getting certain certifications and becoming more self-aware became really important to me, because that shit hurt. Like,
Uh-huh. Is there certain things in these behaviors? Can we, and we don't we need to break each one of them down. That's probably another show. We could just do another show. We probably will do that. We'll do a show on just attachment theory because it's very interesting. Stuff like this is very interesting to me. Is there, if we can do like just a quick summary of like something that you may see in each one, like a characteristic so that you can see, okay, this person is this way or this person's that way. Not to say that you could sum it up in one sentence, because like I said, I really do want to do another show on this. But is there something that you can see in a secure person and an insecure person?
So a secure person is somebody who's self-aware, somebody who can be in a relationship. And let's say a secure person, you get into an argument with your partner. You're not so easily triggered off of something your partner may say. You're able to really assess the problem and you can talk things out for real, right? Mm-hmm. And then let's say somebody who is anxiously attached. Say you get into an argument with your partner, you're anxiously attached. You might be somebody who, your partner might be somebody like myself. Sometimes I have to walk away. Like, hey, give me some time because if I might say the wrong thing and I don't want to say the wrong thing. So I need to revisit this conversation. So I will walk away. If you're somebody who's anxiously attached, you have to have the conversation right now. You're
I've dated people like that who do not want to get off the phone without a resolution. Like,
we need a resolution. That's somebody who's probably anxiously attached. Or you might be anxiously attached if your partner's having a bad day at work and they come home and maybe they're wearing that energy on them. And then you make it, in a way, you make it all about you. Like you're trying to please your partner, but you're only trying to please your partner because you want them to get out of this bad mood so they can attend to you. So that, you get what I'm saying? So that might be anxiously attached. Somebody who's fearful avoidance, kind of like what I mentioned. Somebody who, it's kind of like a roller coaster. Like I might start off really strong in a relationship with somebody. Let's say a guy that has his stuff together. I might be excited at first, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I like him at first. And, you know, then maybe he starts coming in really strong with things I'm not used to because I'm not used to being treated that well due to my childhood and things that went on in my household because I grew up in a real codependent household with a lot of fighting, alcohol. It was an unstable household. So that's kind of what I was used to. So when a guy was stable and was trying to give me things and treat me well, it was so unfamiliar to me. I was afraid I was going to mess it up. That's what I'm thinking. It was more on that.
So and you decided to go ahead and just like, yo, get rid of them all together.
But I would label it as boredom, right? Like I would say,
okay, I've heard that before.
Yeah, like he was boring, like he didn't stimulate me in the right ways. But now that I'm older and I'm able to look, it was more so me wanting to fix something, feeling that I had to be worthy to receive this type of love. And I didn't do anything compared to other things because that's what I was taught in my household. You have to work for everything, including love.
Right.
This is a little bit about, and then, dismissive avoidance or that might be somebody who was raised, maybe your parents worked all the time. Maybe you grew up in a crazy household where you were left alone a lot. So you had to self-soothe and you were alone a lot. So you grow up and you get into these relationships and your inner story may be to the effect of people leave. So you don't get attached.
I see. So you never really formed that attachment because you're so
They usually don't even form it too much. Like they, you know, they might have sex, but sex is not looked at as the same to a dismissive.
For sure.
Yeah. So that's a little bit on those.
Now, that's interesting because I would definitely want to talk. We're going to do a whole show on that. Like that might be our real, like legit our next show. Cause that's absolutely fascinating to me. The different types. And I remember DJ being at when I was at the studio and we were doing our thing and you were showing me your phone. This is something I've never forgotten, by the way. Now you were showing me like your Facebook situation and you're like, I don't know if it was Facebook dating or something, DJ.
It was.
You had so many dudes in there, DJ. I was like, this is like a mountain of men. You had dudes coming in that had left, dudes that came back. Like, I was like, yo, this is a lot of guys. So from a guy standpoint, it's complete, like, yo, there's like a million dudes out here. And the kind of guy I am, DJ, they all thirstier than me. I'm not a thirsty dude. Like, so I'm like, how do I don't even have a shot out here. You kidding me? Because I'm not, paying any attention. I'm going to send one message. I'm gone. Like, that's it. I'll send my message. I'm out of here. I've already forgotten I sent that message after I've sent it. And I think we talked about this on the show. Yeah. How important, at least for me personally, part of my dating journey was not putting so much emphasis on the one message, not putting so much emphasis on the one communication. You know what I mean? I kind of do my communication and then move on. Boom, I'm out of here. And if they hit back, they hit back. They don't, they don't. But when I looked at the mountain of men you had in your, that's what the name of your next podcast should be. It should be Mountain of Men. If you do another podcast, that's what the name of it should be. Mountain, the mountain of men that DJ had in your messages. The first thing I wanted to know is how does anyone stick out? How do you even choose one of those messages? It's a bunch of dudes. And some got shirts on, some got shirts off. Some look like business dudes. Some look like regular dudes who just took this photo selfie. And it's kind of like, how is anybody even sticking out to you, DJ, to even like select on them?
So now for me, because I know when I was younger, like, yo, I would just hit everybody up and then just try to keep up. But then I would get
burned. Word. Good luck with that, right?
You know, that's done, right? but what I do now, I really do try. I actually need to get back on Facebook dating. Anyway,
into your mountain of messages. That's what you need to do. Man. You hear that, fellas? A mountain of messages not being even seen and attended to. DJ, yo, let's just take a pause here for all the people who are looking for love out here. To the other people that have millions of messages they're not even responding to. They're not even on there. And they're still getting those messages. To other dudes and women who are trying their hardest, they got 17 messages. That's just what DJ's getting today. She got 17 and she ain't even looked at them.
I feel so bad. I feel so bad. I really want to get on there to promote my stuff. But see, that's why I said I ain't ish. That's why I said I'm an FA. But now what I try to do, I try to look at the person's profile. First, I look at the message. Like, I need something in depth, not too in depth, because I've had a guy send me, like, I had guys send me their escort services packages.
I need to get that. I need to set, yo. Maybe you need to put that dude on and just send them my messages. Maybe I should send them something like, yo, bro, I heard you got a lot of work. Yeah, that's very interesting.
I entertained it. I want to know. Like, what really has you out here doing all this?
What are these prices looking like? Like, I don't know what the radius for a male escort out here.
It looked like they go on. I'm trying to remember. This was a while back. But I know, like, to just spend time, not have sex, just get, like, girlfriend treatment. I think he was $200-$300 for that, for like a night or something.
Oh, I am quitting my job. Like, right. This shit. What am I out here fucking working my life away for when I can just show up and get paid a couple hundred bucks for conversation? I'll give it.
Right. A lot of women, they looking for that, Ali. I guess he's found his niche. I don't know. And then I get these messages about sad stories, 2-3 paragraphs. I don't know if another one looking for sympathy and money. Like, I get these weird messages, and then I'll get hey, what's up sexy. Somebody might say something about my big lit. Like, I don't like those messages. Like, it gotta be a message.
So the physical messages, the messages that are commenting on anything physical, you're not a fan of?
Not anymore. I remember in the past. Thank you. No, not no more.
Yeah, a lot of women, I've heard a lot of women say that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, not no more, because right, so not no more. You just gotta come correct, introduce yourself. I'll respond to those messages, just introducing yourself. And now I'm more open to, I have a type, but then I'm more open. Like, I'll reach out if your message is right, and then just see where the conversation goes.
So what is the right message? Can we just write it right now? Can we just write it for these dudes? Like, what is a message that get DJ absolutely to pay attention? Because that's just part. If a guy writes a good message, DJ, that's just getting you to look at them. You ain't even like reached out to them yet. That's just getting over the first hurdle of having you even just look at their message.
I might not be the right person, because the last person I messaged was me trying something. Let me think of another message, because I'm like, that one might not be.
Is there, if you couldn't write the word specifically, is there a theme of a message that you feel like is better for men? I know, going from men to women situation, is there a theme message that a guy can write to where a woman, like, maybe the theme will be just, is it saying something funny? Is it mentioning maybe something she's wearing? Is it mentioning a picture that she has? Is there a theme?
I think definitely mentioning something. Definitely mentioning something funny, I'm not going to lie, is something that will attract me as well. Mentioning something funny. And then also even being intentional, like stating kind of shortly what your intentions are, like, or asking me what, you know, what am I doing on the app? Like, what brings me to Facebook? And then just, and just the message just got to be somewhat of an intentional, because a lot of these dudes don't. They just kind of, like what you said, I just send out one message and I just see what, you know.
See what happens. Cast a wide net is what we got to do. You know what I mean?
You know, I feel like you can come up with a general message that comes off intentional, and then cast that wide net with it. So I don't know. Like, so I'm not that. Yeah, I'm kind of simple now I think about it. But that was the, to your point, just to, the, when you asked me about a message, one that really caught my eye. So this guy was poly. I'm not gonna lie. He was poly.
Okay, and so a poly lifestyle, for that's multiple lovers, like, for people.
Multiple who lovers.
Don't know what the poly lifestyle is.
Yeah, and he was somebody.
Interesting lifestyle, by the way. Very interesting lifestyle.
Very interesting. And I've learned that it's not for me. I've tried it a couple times. I've learned it's not for me. It's not.
Okay.
But
yet another show idea that we just have. We've come up with two or three more shows on here.
I know, right? I'll talk about my experiences and why they weren't for me. Like, I've had a couple of experiences. But his message was so genuine and so honest. Like, he wanted to make it clear, like, did I read his profile? He just was really intentional. I think that's my big thing, like, being intentional, like, in your message to some degree, to show, like, hey, I'm really on this app trying to meet, date. Like, I need to see that. Like, that, hey, what's up? You know, I don't even respond to those, because I'll respond and then the dude will be only looking for a pen pal. That's like, I'm trying to get out here in these streets. Like, I'm not looking for no damn pen pal.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm not with that. You know, those people that get on these apps and they want a message for like a month. Like, yo, what do you think? I'm trying to waste my time here. You think I want to just text, like, be text pals with you? That's basically what you're doing. You know what I mean? I'm not texting you, but I'm you doing the same method through an app, whether it's you're doing social media or whether you're doing dating. It's pretty much you're just texting messages on your phone, reaching out to another human being. And when in dating apps, just like you said, it's being intentional, right? Most people are on there for intentional reasons. Like, there are some people on there playing games, but there's people who aren't. And I think that it's good to identify which one of those people that you are. Like, are you a person that's playing games? Or are you a person that's really trying to get out here?
Because there's other apps for that. Like, get on Bigo. Like, find apps where you can be friends with people, okay? Like, don't play with me. Go play with your mama. Like, don't play with me.
Finish that statement.
No, I was just saying don't play with me. That's all.
What about any negative? Or is there, so we just talked about what the positive might be able to jump out. Something that jumps out to you where you like, yo, all right, bet I can at least engage this person in conversation. Okay. What is, now let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum. What do you look at? You like instantly like, oh, hell no. Like no, not a chance this person's getting a message.
Yo.
Is it looks? Is it physical?
It's sometimes.
Keep it a buck. Keep it a buck on the show, DJ. We all got a type, DJ. We all got a type. I know you don't see a face in there and be like, hell no, you seen somebody's face on there.
Sometimes it's physical. What else? Sometimes it's physical, and then there's I'm trying to think if I ever got a message and I was like, hell no. There was another time a guy sent me like a 2-page letter about his life and how he was struggling, how he just wanted a girl to be there for him. I'm like, damn, I need to change my pictures.
Hurt.
Yeah, I need to change my pictures on my profile. Yeah, I don't know. I was like, I need to change the pictures on my profile or something. What the hell am I attracting? Because that was a hell no for me. The other story I gave you about the escort, that wasn't a hell no. That was an entertaining conversation for 2 days until I finally just left him on read, because he really
Did he give you his prices up front? I'm really, the escort situation is really interesting. I might need a new line of work. I mean, rates,
he didn't give them to me up front. I wish I could find his messages. It wasn't up front. It was just more so him letting me know, you know. He didn't even use the word escort. He used, I'll have to.
That's too strong. He probably didn't want to come on very strong. Like, let me ease it in there.
He made it clear, like, you know, I'm just out here basically, I don't remember what he said, but he basically just made it clear, like, I'm just out here, you know, making sure that women are good. But it was in his own way of putting it, and then just made it know, like, it's going to cost you money.
Yo, so did you like did so you did you pull that from his comments? Because
I pulled it from
like, yo, I need the sheet, bro. I need the menu, bro. I need to pull.
I did. I asked him. I was like, so how much? That's what I got, the 200 to 300. So how much do you charge, like, for certain stuff? You know, because after talking to him a little bit, you know, but I'm gonna find those messages and I'm gonna screenshot them and I'm gonna send them to you.
Yeah, man. Because I wanted to. That's an interesting conversation to have. Because I, you know, what's funny is, so I've talked to a lot of guys who. And luckily, I've avoided this, DJ. I've avoided this, like, but dude, I believe him because he showed me. So he had a list, and he was like, "Man, every time I start to get close to women on these apps, they end up asking me for money at some point. They end up asking me, sending me their list, sending me their menu, and stuff like that." And I'm like, "How has this never happened to me? And how has it happened so much to this other person?" Because he did have a, he had a, his block list. Cause he's like, yo, I block him every time. And he was scrolling up his block list. He could scroll a few different times up his block list. So I was like, yo, what is he doing where he's getting so many women that's like asking him these lines of questions. And I just never have gotten this before.
Okay. So we've done a few podcasts together and you've always seemed like you were intentional, right? With who you chose, who you date, you always came off intentional. I had another dude come on my podcast maybe about a month or two after you, and he was having the same issues. Here in Atlanta, it's just different. Every time I go out on a date with a girl, she ends up asking for money. Or I took a girl out on a date and went to her house and there was no food in her refrigerator. I asked her, there's nothing there. So I bought her groceries and then I just never spoke to her again. But then he turned around and he said, well, if you act like the fun girl, I'm gonna treat you like the fun girl. So that means you entertaining her. So if you entertaining her and you know she the fun girl, of course she's gonna turn around, she's gonna ask you for something. And
for sure.
It sounded like he knew from jump. Yeah, she come off like she the fun girl, but I'm gonna have fun with her. What you expect?
I guess so. I you know, it's interesting because now it's gonna make me kind of have to revisit. I'm gonna go back, my bro, because I did tell him this, like, since you're the only common denominator, it's something. It's some energy that's being given off, bro. Like something. I'm not sure what it is, but you're giving off some energy that's attracting this energy back to you.
These dudes be entertaining, and they'll entertain just to see how far they can go until maybe the girl asks for something, or they'll just see how far they can take it, and then she'll pop up and ask for something. But I feel like if you're intentional about dating and about how you're putting yourself out there while you're dating, what your dating life will reflect back to you what you're putting out there. So
that's very interesting.
Yeah, if you're entertaining a fun girl because she's fun and you're trying to have fun,
as guys will want to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. We'll entertain some stuff.
The other guy wanted something real serious too, but he took in everything that came his way, including those girls. So you won't run into, that's just my perspective, my opinion. You entertaining these people and you making them comfortable enough to ask you for money.
Word, right? Especially here in the A, there's no shortage. I'll tell you that right now. There's no shortage of human beings in the A who's willing to try to get that money up off of you. Like there's zero. If you've ever been to Atlanta, you're gonna know exactly what I'm talking about. And you know, so one of the last things I want to talk about here on this show is, how do you, and I think we've talked about this before, and that's kind of like the preferences versus the deal breakers. Yet another show that we could just do a whole show on, which we might. We've come up with like four shows this show. So we've come up with our next like 3 to 4 shows. We'll do a preview and then we'll actually deep dive on these, because this is one I've talked about with several different people. And I'm always interested to hear what one is versus the others, because you know what ends up happening is like, we all might have a laundry list of deal breakers, and as I talked to a lot of women, one of the things I've discovered, and maybe this is the same way with men too, is that list gets shorter as you get older. Like, so when you're younger, that list starts off a mile long. As you start to get older, you start to scratch some things off the list. Like, well, I'll take this. Maybe at the beginning, like, I don't want a man with no kids. Then I'll take one who doesn't live with him. I'll take one that does live with him, but is a teenager. I'll take a toddler. I'll take anything. Like, so it kind of goes down with time. Now, is that something that you see and something that you're kind of familiar with, kind of having what is a strong preference versus what is an absolute deal breaker?
I know a lot of my friends, I never had, and that was a part of my problem back in the day. Like, I didn't have too many boundaries. I don't think I honestly was just the type, I want the fine ass dude. I didn't care what he had going on.
Kind of like that's when a guy's I was perspective. You're talking about how guys do. That's the kind of stuff we do.
I had that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely had that. I didn't care what he had going on. Like I said, I was a fixer upper. Like, let me help you. I always had my stuff together, and it was just kind of like, I could help you. You know. So unfortunately, I had
to be housing these dudes, man. Putting these dudes in the house. DJ said, "Yo, I'll take care of. I got you. I'm settled on my financials. You know, what are you looking for?
You know, but you know, I had to really, I was to the point where I'm gonna help you. I wasn't that bad where I was putting them up in houses and stuff. But I was the type who, okay, you say you want to do this, let me help you do this. And if I had to, and whatever I had to do to help, I would help. But it'd be me pouring in to build this person up. And I wasn't getting anything in return. So I didn't have a lot of boundaries, which meaning not having a lot of boundaries means I didn't really have a lot of preferences versus non-negotiable.
Deal breakers. Yeah, non-negotiable. Because a lot of times that's what people tend to have.
Yeah, now. And me, my list is still short. My list is short. Like I said, I really didn't have one before. Now my list is short. Now it's like, okay, you have to respect my boundaries. You give me any type of red flags, you don't respect my boundaries, you out the door. I don't give a damn how fine you is.
So that's one of them, right? Like a deal breaker to me, right? So that's just having just boundaries.
Mine is just having boundaries now, like, because I didn't have any before, because I didn't know where I began and where another person ended. So if another person never ended and always needed, I would just give, because I didn't know where I ended or where I began. So now it's understanding my boundaries, and I guess something within my boundaries, I don't mind somebody who have kids. I don't mind somebody who have kids. As long as you're taking care of your kids and you ain't dealing with the BM, I think we're good.
Right.
That's like having them any issue? Because I've never really had to deal with that. If I date a woman with them, I haven't really had to deal with like any baby father drama. Like, they may have it, but it never kind of spilt over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, see, that's all I would want, because I know for me, I gave every man that I dated, because I have an 11-year-old. I deal with BD drama between me and him, but it never spilled over. Like, the guy would never know, you know. I'm trying to think. And then preferences, back in the day, he had to be 6'2".
Oh, you know, the six pack. Absolutely.
That was due to my own stuff, why he had to be so tall. Now, you know, I don't care. Last guy I talked to, he was very close to my height. So, you know, I've grown from that.
So you've dropped down. So what was that, like dropping down like an inch every year or so? How long did it take you to get down from where you started?
No, it was probably about 6 years. Like I said, once I really started realizing, 6-7 years, because for the longest he had to be tall. Like, I want him to be tall. Now it's like he ain't got to be that tall. But that took a while for me to get over that. So that was
why do you think that is? Because that's a physical preference. That's just your physical preference, just kind of changing.
I think I just was following a trend, because I'm really like, I don't really care about the height. Well, he can't be 4'2" now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he can't be 4'2" dudes. Like, you know, just as soon as you got put in, you just been put back out. For all you guys who felt like, yo, now we got a shot. Now you've been put back outside by DJ.
No, 5'6" and over is, you know, that's cool.
That's generous. Yeah. That's generous from what a lot of women are. Because a lot of women, they don't want 5'0". And it's over with for guys like me. It's over with. Like, we're 5'9" guys. It's over with. We're not getting nothing.
That's crazy. 5'6" and over is fine. I got over the stupid stigma of a guy got to be a certain height, a guy got to be this, a guy got to be that. I'm not the best in this area, because I'm still learning my preferences, my boundaries.
Aren't we all? I don't know if it ever is. Is it ever done, DJ? I don't think it is. I don't think that you ever really stop, because you don't stop evolving as a person. Right. You know what I mean? If you're living life correctly, there's going to be constant evolution. Things that you learn from any previous year to where you take into the next year, like, okay, you're a little bit more wise. And I feel like some of those preferences kind of change with that, right? With just growing as a human being.
Absolutely. So I said, I didn't have any before. And now I only have a few. I probably can list a whole bunch of things that I know I won't stand for, but as far as like preferences and then deal breakers, you know, the person got to respect my mind. You know, I've been in relationships where guys would try to dumb me down, dim my light, like things like that. So
what would they do? Like when you say dim your light or dumb you down, like what is that, like talking to you in condescending fashions? Is that what,
yeah,
what is,
yeah,
that look
talking
like for
to
you?
Me in condescending fashions, or that's basically it, talking to me in condescending fashion. I ain't never had nobody like insult me like directly. Like, mm-hmm. You know how somebody can insult you directly, like, oh, you
yo, that's like super toxic though, right? Yo, like if dude, like if you go into the crib and you being insulted at your house by your significant other, that sucks. That sucks.
Bad. My first relationship, no, not my first one. My second one, I wasn't a physically abusive one. So after that, I wasn't that. And that one, I'm gonna take that back. That one too was verbally abusive as well. Okay. So I did deal with that. And after that relationship, I thought, okay, well, that's something I'm not gonna tolerate anymore. But that was a very early relationship. I was a teenager.
So you got it out the way pretty quick.
I got that one out the way pretty quick. I hate that I went through that, but I'm one of those people, unfortunately, I'm very hard headed. So
sometimes it's best to have to go through a few things before you really have to figure out some stuff. And you know what's crazy is, as I've looked at the notes, you know, I've taken notes this entire show. Let me see. Mm-hmm. I see 1, 2. Okay, let's say 3. All right, I see 3 more shows here. 3 more shows. Instantly, just from this one conversation that we've had, it was 1.5 hour conversation. There's gonna be a few more shows just based on what we've talked about here. Tell the people where they can find you at, DJ.
So you can find me on all social media platforms at Playing4Keeps app. You will see my podcast clips there. You can get access to see my video podcast and my audio podcast, and you'll have access to the dating app as well. So check us out.
Amazing. Amazing. This is Reginae Chill. Check us out. Stitch Your Heart Radio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. See you next time.